name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That was a long gospel reading. It's a story you know well. And the point of it is really found at the end of today's gospel, as we draw to the end of the season of Lent. And from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. The death and resurrection of Lazarus is told here because it reminds you of what it caused to come to pass. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who heard what Jesus had done, were disturbed. They were afraid that because of the miraculous signs, especially raising someone from the dead, would cause the people to rise up. The Romans would come and destroy the city and take away the authority of those like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the Sanhedrin, who were there as the puppets of Rome. But Caiaphas, the high priest that year, when the Pharisees and others of the Sanhedrin said, "What must we do?" said this, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He didn't know what he was saying, but he spoke prophetically. And he declares the truth for us as we look forward to the coming Holy Week. Namely, that it is better for one to die for the whole nation. And that one is Christ. And yet we can't ignore the story of Lazarus. It's a story that all of you know well, because you've heard it at so many funerals, haven't you? It's been read again and again of the death of Lazarus and his resurrection to bring hope and comfort to those who grieve the death of ones they love. You know how word was sent to Jesus by Mary and Martha. The one that you love is sick. Really, that's no different than the prayers that you offer when someone you love is sick. The only difference is they didn't pray. They actually sent a messenger because they knew somehow where Jesus was. And so a messenger came to Jesus and said, "Mary and Martha are calling you, for Lazarus is sick." But Jesus didn't go. It reminds you of how often when you pray, whether it's for the needs of yourself or for the needs of ones you love, then it seems that God doesn't hear. But Jesus did hear, and it seems that Jesus doesn't answer. But Jesus did answer. It just wasn't what Mary and Martha wanted. And sometimes when the Lord seems to not be listening to you, and when the Lord doesn't give you what you asked, you must be reminded the Lord has answered you. It's just not what you asked for. And you, as a child of God, must trust according to the first commandment, that God is your God. He knows what you need more than you think you know what you need. And the Lord always answers you with what is best, not just for you, but for the whole world. Jesus knew what he was doing. And so you know how the story unfolds. He delays for 2 days. He tells his disciples that it's time to go up to Judea, for Lazarus has fallen asleep. They think, well, what's the matter? He'll just wake up. And then Jesus declares it plainly. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad that I was not there. For your sake, Jesus says. For your sake, that you may believe. Dear children of God, this is what it is all about. Everything that God does is so that you might know and believe, so that by believing you might have life in Jesus' name. And sometimes it's hard to see that that is what God is doing in your life and in the lives of those you love. But God is doing this. So Jesus goes. Martha comes out. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. There are really two things in that statement to which I think all of you can relate. At first, it's a complaint. Jesus, you didn't do what we asked you to do. And if you had done what we told you to do, things would have turned out better the way we wanted it to. Do you find yourselves at times complaining to God? And yet, even in the complaint, there is faith. There is faith. For my brother would not have died. She believes that Jesus could and will do something. And so even in those moments when you find yourself complaining to Jesus the way Martha did, you still complain as a child of God. And you trust in that God. Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. And the great confession of Martha is really the confession of the Christian church. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. You confess this with Martha. For you believe that the body in which you now live will one day die. And yet, on the last day, when the trumpet call of God is heard, he will call forth from the graves those who have died. And those who have died in faith will rise unto everlasting life. And those who have died in unbelief will rise unto eternal death and judgment. That's why Jesus' work is so important. Jesus acts so that you may believe. Not just so that now you can handle death better or worse, but so that on the last day when he calls forth from the grave all of the dead, believing, you will have eternal life now in the body which Christ bestows upon you on that day. The story unfolds. Jesus speaks of himself, whoever lives and believes in me will live even though he dies. This is the reason why we speak these words at funerals. Because it reminds you that Jesus is talking about two different kinds of life and death. There is the life that we live every day as we breathe and eat and play and enjoy one another. And then there is eternal life. And then there is death. There is physical death, the kind of death that usually brings us together for funerals. That's physical death. But Jesus isn't talking about that when he says, he who lives and believes in me will never die. When someone dies, we believe what Jesus said. They are not dead. Their death is physical. Their body will be cared for reverently as the temple of the Holy Spirit. It will be laid in the grave, looking forward to that day of the resurrection of all flesh. But Jesus, as you have heard recently, said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am not the God of the dead, but of the living. He could have said the same thing about Lazarus. Lazarus was not dead. His body was dead and laid in a grave. But Lazarus was now living in the glory in spirit of the gracious and merciful and eternal God. Have you ever thought of the story of Lazarus from the perspective of Lazarus instead of from Mary and Martha? Because see, that's the one you can relate to, Mary and Martha, because you too, like those two sisters, grieve and mourn in the face of death. But think about Lazarus. He's in the glory of God. He's now no longer suffering the effects of the fall. He is no longer suffering the pain or whatever it was that caused him to die. He is now spared from all those things. And certainly that should bring you comfort as you think of those whom you love who have died in the faith. But now, Mary and Martha want him back. And I'm sure you can relate. A husband or a wife, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father. I want them back because I want to enjoy the relationship that I knew in this life. And that's very natural. And for this day, Mary and Martha get what they want. And so, as you know, the story unfolds. Jesus goes to where Mary is. Mary comes out to meet him, and then they go to the grave. And you know what Jesus does. First, he weeps. He has them unroll the stone from the grave, and then he speaks. But before he speaks, you heard the words of Martha. Lord, it's going to stink. A man who has been dead for 4 days, who has not been cared for in our modern terms of embalming, would stink. It reminds you that death is an ugly thing. We must not try to cover it up with sweet words or sentiments that can really give us no hope and strength in the face of such a horrible enemy. Death is powerful, and you have no power over it. Not medicine, not physicians, not a better attempt to live more healthy, not better food, not vitamins and minerals. Nothing you do can overcome death. Not temporal death and not eternal death. That's why you need Christ. For Christ in his flesh has conquered this death. Remember the story? How does it end? They plotted for Jesus' death. But that wasn't their idea. It wasn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees who put Jesus to death. It was your God, your gracious and heavenly Father, who sent forth Jesus to bear your sin in your flesh, to suffer your death, to pay for your sins, and to give to you freely victory not only over sin, but over death and even over the grave. Death cannot conquer you. The grave cannot hold you. Eternal life is yours in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus spoke. Lazarus, come forth. You see, Jesus was speaking to a living man, not someone who was dead. He was speaking to someone who heard the word of Christ and in perfect obedience, living in the glory of God the Father, obeyed that voice and came forth. He left behind the glory of God and returned to the world in which he had been living. Dear child of God, St. Paul spoke plainly. It is better to depart and be with Christ. This is the greater glory, but in obedience to Christ, Lazarus comes forth. Jesus speaks to you today. He speaks to you, the living. You are those baptized into Christ. You are those who live in the light and life of Christ. And Jesus speaks to you. Come forth, not from a grave of stone, but come forth from the life that you live. come forth from the world in which temptation afflicts you. Come forth from the life of sin and death that so allures you. Come forth from the pain and suffering of the daily existence that you now live in. And where does he call you? He calls you to come to him. Come to the place of his voice that speaks to you. Come forth to eat. Come forth to drink. My body and my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Here, Jesus gives you strength. Here, Jesus gives you hope. Here, Jesus gives you forgiveness of sins. Here, Jesus gives you himself. And here, Jesus gives you his promise. He who lives and believes in me will live forever. This is God's gracious promise to you. Come forth and receive the gifts of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds.